This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Friday, March 28th. Happy Friday. We made it. Get ready to enjoy the weekend. And this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, today, I want to talk to you guys about one of the more intriguing top 30 visits we now know about with the Eagles. More and more of these visits are starting to leak. As of now, we know, let's see, I got it right down here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So almost a third of the visits are already known. Now, for those that don't know, a top 30 visit is during the draft process, the Eagles are allowed to have 30 players visit the facility, and they meet coaches, they tour the facility. It's just like a way to really get to know a player if you're seriously consider drafting them. And for the player, it's a chance to get to see the place that they might go. Now, I've said this before in a pod, but I think it's important reiterating. The Eagles really value the top 30 picks. How much do they value it? Well, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Tyler Steen, Keely Ringo, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Jalix Hunt, Anaya Smith, and Johnny Wilson were all top 30 visits. It's basically like 80% of the players they've drafted over the past few years. And part of the reason I think the Eagles have really started to value it is Andre Dillard fell to them. I think it was, what, 22 or 23 that year. And they did not have Andre Dillard in for a visit. In fact, if I remember correctly, there was a report they were talking to him like the morning of, trying to get to know him better. So I think that experience, and credit to the Eagles for, you know, for always, I would say, like, when there's a problem, they certainly go above and beyond trying to correct it. And you can see now that they realize that when they have guys in the building and they get to know them better, there's a better chance of that player being a hit, or at least being, you know, they have more information about them. So like I said, as of now, we know 9 of the visits. NC State offensive tackle Anthony Belton, Iowa State offensive tackle Jalen Travis, Purdue offensive lineman Marcus Imbeaux, Oregon offensive tackle Josh Connerly Jr. All makes sense so far, right? Offensive lineman, duh. Kentucky cornerback Maxwell Hairston, Boston College edge Donovan Ezuraku, SMU edge rusher Elijah Roberts. So still makes sense, like edges, corners, offensive linemen. Here's the interesting thing. The Eagles have apparently brought Texas running back Jaden Blue in for a top 30 visit. So Jaden Blue just had his pro day recently at Texas, and he told Jordan Reed of ESPN that he has a top 30 visit coming up with the Eagles. So he's also visiting, according to via Jordan Reed, according to Jaden Blue, the Texans, Broncos, and Steelers. So the Eagles bringing in a running back for a top 30 visit. Interesting. So first, let's talk about the idea of drafting a running back, and then let's talk about Jaden Blue. So you look at the Eagles' current running back depth chart. Starts with a pretty good one, Saquon Barkley. Kenny Gainwell left this year in free agency. So it goes Saquon Barkley, Will Shipley, and A.J. Dillon. And then they do have, you know, if you look at deeper down on the depth chart, they have some other options that I think will get shots in training camp. But when it comes to making the roster, you look at it, and it's, you know, Saquon going to make the roster. Will Shipley going to make the roster. A.J. Dillon likely going to make the roster. They signed Avery Williams, who is a kick returner, but, you know, listed as a running back, but more would just be on the roster as a kick returner. And then they have Lou Nichols and Tyrion Davis Price, who I thought Davis Price had a good training camp last year. So they do have quite a bit of running backs. I mean, that's 1, 2, they have 6 running backs on the roster, and that's pre-draft. So like, even if they had undrafted ones, you're looking at a crowded draft room. So to bring Jaden Blue in is a sign of like serious, serious interest in this guy. Because again, Saquon's going to be on the team. Will Shipley going to be on the team. AJ Dillon, if healthy, going to be on the team. So that fourth running back spot, they don't normally carry four. So like, maybe it's an AJ Dillon insurance in case, you know, he does get into camp and he doesn't look good. But if you were to draft Jaden Blue or really any running back, let's say in the fourth round, like that guy's making the roster. You're not cutting a fourth round pick. So Avery Williams, again, listed as a running back, but like not going to really play it. He's more of a kick returner. So if they draft a running back and AJ Dillon's healthy, you could be looking at four running backs on the roster, which might be an indication Saquon is not going to touch the ball as much. So that's an interesting part of bringing in a running back. Like, is this a sign that we're going to see much, much more of a split backfield next year? Is Will Shipley going to touch it a lot more? Is AJ Dillon going to get the short yard carries? And is Jaden Blue potentially going to be drafted by the Eagles to be a part of the offense, not just to be sitting for a year, to like come in and play? So what is it about Jaden Blue that might have the Eagles so intrigued? So first of all, like I said, recently had his pro day at Texas, and he ran a 4.28 and a 4.29. Now, pro day is always a little juiced, right? But 4.28 and 4.29, that's extremely fast. And I believe that was only one or four 100 slower than the all-time record set by Xavier Worthy, who, of course, also went to Texas. Now, Jaden Blue did run a 4.38 at the Combine. He said at his pro day that he was dealing with an injury at the Combine. So, you know, I think you probably look at it somewhere in between that 4.28 and the 4.38. But regardless, still very, very quick. And I think there's a few reasons the Eagles probably really like Jaden Blue and like him enough to bring him in for a top 30 visit. So I think the first reason is he has not had a lot of touches in his 3 years at Texas. So he showed potential while also not, you know, running backs only get so many touches in their careers. Like, he didn't waste a lot of them at Texas. So in 2023, he had 17 touches. In 2022, he was on the team, but he didn't really touch the ball. He only had 15 carries, didn't really play as a freshman. And that's the one thing, too, about Jaden Blue. Like, he's always been behind great running backs. Bijan Robinson, you know, one of the more recent examples. So 2022 doesn't really play. 2023 is a little more involved. 79 touches for 553 yards, almost 7 yards per touch, and 4 touchdowns. That broke down with 65 carries for almost 400 yards and 14 catches for 135 yards and almost 10 yards per catch. So in 2023, he starts to display the kind of like Swiss Army knife, and that's what you see him called a lot online. Ability, like he can do a lot, right? And then in 2024, he gets his big year, only 176 touches. So he's not like coming into the NFL with 900 touches, you know, 500. He only has like 250 or something like that. So 176 touches his last year, over 1,000 yards rushing, over 6 yards per touch. I should say over 1,000 total yards, over 6 yards per touch, 14 touchdowns. Of those 14, 8 came on the ground, 6 came through the air. And of those just under 1,100 yards, 700 of them on the ground and almost 400 of them through the air. So he was a do-it-all player for Texas. So that's the number one thing I think the Eagles probably really like about him is he has like his probably overall skill hasn't been able to be completely shown because he's been a backup and not a huge part of the offense, but also just as a result, like he's good to go. Like he's coming in the NFL and like his body has not been worn down like you see from some college running back. So I think that's really appealing. The other one is the speed. Like the Eagles have the best set of offensive players in the NFL, arguably. So it's not like they're going into next year saying we have like this massive skill set deficiency on offense or we're lacking a specific skill. But I think if they were lacking one skill, it would probably be speed. Like Saquon has breakaway speed, but it kind of builds up. Like AJ and Devontae are quick, but they're not like a Tyreek Hill, Xavier Worthy type of quick. Like Jaden Blue would come on the roster and probably be the fastest player on the roster. And I think would add an element of speed to this offense that they didn't really have last year. Like Will Shipley, not super quick. AJ Dillon, definitely not quick. Goddard's good speed for a tight end, but he's a tight end. So the speed element, I think, would be really appealing to the Eagles. Now he can catch it out of the backfield. The issue is the Eagles don't really throw the ball to the running back, but it is a good it is a good skill to have, obviously. Like, he could be a third down running back for them. And I think the last one is just, if they were to draft him, then you're splitting the backfield more than you were before. Like, if they draft Jaden Blue, and let's say the fourth or fifth round, Saquon, Will Shipley, AJ Dillon, Jaden Blue, like, they're not sitting all three of the guys behind Saquon. Like, you're going to see way less Saquon next year if they draft a running back, because I think it's indicative of what they're thinking. And I'm fine with that. Like, give Saquon almost the year off until, like, the big games and the playoffs. Like, I am fine with splitting the backfield next year. So, you know, obviously, I think this always happens with all draft prospects, where you hear about him and it's like, oh my God, how could this guy go to the fourth round? Well, he has 8 fumbles. Like, that's a good amount of fumbles for a college player that didn't touch it very much. So it's concerning how much he puts the ball on the ground. That would be something where you would hope Jamal Singleton would work with them. Obviously, we know Nick Sirianni, big time into ball security, big time into fundamentals. So it's definitely something they would work with him on. But yeah, I think it's an intriguing top 30 visit, an intriguing top 30 player, and really a sign of what they could be thinking with Saquon Barkley next year. So on the other side, I'm going to do something that I didn't even think was possible. I'm going to talk about 5 players on the Eagles I don't think we've talked enough about. And keep in mind, I talk about the Eagles basically my entire life, but I don't think these 5 players have been talked about enough. So we're going to get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. So we have talked about so many players on the Eagles. So, I mean, it's an Eagles pod. We've talked about the players quite a bit. But I think there are a few Eagles we're not talking about enough when it comes to their potential role on the team next year. So these are 5 Eagles I want to get into to talk about what their role on the team could be next year, and, you know, what their chances of making the team are, and if, you know, we're not bringing them up enough. So the first one is Trevor Keegan. When the Eagles let Mekhi Becton go, it instantly became Tyler Steen. It instantly became Kenyon Green. We didn't bring up Trevor Keegan. Trevor Keegan, a starter at Michigan, drafted by the team last year, has been here a full year, good size for a guard, has played winning football, you know, like a outlandish type of personality that I think I see in the good Eagles offensive lineman. Could Trevor Keegan be maybe the reason they were comfortable letting Becton go? And, you know, the owners' meetings or the NFL annual meetings are this upcoming week. When Nick Sirianni talks about the option at guards, like, will he mention Trevor Keegan? Because I think we're underselling the idea that he could potentially be the starting guard on this team. I would not rule out him beating out Tyler Steen. And while Kenyon Green has things going for him that Trevor doesn't, Kenyon was a first-round pick. They just traded for him. Kenyon Green has been bad in the NFL. Trevor Keegan at least hasn't played. So Trevor Keegan, and you know this is an official Trevor Keegan pod, the Go Birds pod. Trevor Keegan, a name to keep an eye on. Next up, and while we're a Trevor Keegan pod together, me and James, this one's just me, Eli Ricks. We talk so much about the young talent on this offense. I'm sorry, on this defense. And we talk about the young corners. And then when Darius Slay was let go and Avante Maddox left, we talked about the young options on the roster. Not enough people brought up Eli Ricks. So Eli Ricks in 2023 was forced out on the field due to injury, due to poor play from those around him. And I thought, while he wasn't great, he was like as good as you could have hoped for an undrafted rookie being thrown into a bad defense in a bad season and play well. Like, he flashed, and he has physical tools. Like, he played at Alabama. He played at LSU. He has, like, long arms. You just, like, look at him compared to the other corners, and his length and size stand out compared to what the other corners on the roster have. Eli Ricks has played in the slot. He can play on the outside. You wonder if next year he's in that Avante Maddox role where he comes in at nickel if needed, and he can just kind of move around the field. Like, he was kept on the roster all year. Like, there has to be something there with Eli Ricks they really like, and we never talk about him as picking up a bigger role on the team. So Eli Ricks, definitely a player I would keep an eye on next year. Next up, EJ Jenkins. So we've talked a lot about Dallas Goedert and where he could be next year. Will he be back? You know, will he be traded? What's his role if he is back? What's the contract situation? And as a result, we've talked about Harrison Bryant, who they signed. Kalen Granson, who they signed. Like, Grant Calcaterra, who is presumed to be the top tight end if Goddard is if they move on from Goddard. But EJ Jenkins had an outstanding training camp last year, and you know I love training camp, and you know training camp stats matter. EJ Jenkins caught, like, you know, almost everything thrown his way. He looks like a receiver out there more than a tight end. He got out onto the field last year. He was the target on, like, a big down, if I remember correctly. I can't remember what team it was, but I remember on fourth down, they threw him the ball. Or no, he was open. They didn't throw him. Regardless, he was on the field for a fourth down. He had a touchdown last year. All the potential in the world, in my opinion. EJ Jenkins, like, could be the best tight end on the roster next year if Goddard's gone. I would not rule it out. I think he can be just as good of a receiving tight end as Calcaterra. And I think he has the physical tools to really become a good player. So EJ Jenkins, you look at the tight end position. Let's say Goddard's back. Goddard, Calcaterra, Harrison Bryant, Kylan Granson, and EJ Jenkins, like, they're not keeping all of them. So Goddard coming back could mean Jenkins is gone, but if Goddard's gone, you really enter training camp with, like, a four-man competition for top spots, and I would not rule out EJ Jenkins winning that spot. Next up, Lewis Cine, John Ritchie's boy. John Ritchie loves to talk about Lewis Cine, and I love to talk about Lewis Cine because I think it was a smart pickup by the Eagles at the end of last year, and I think he's a chance to win a starting job. When they let go of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, they said it was, you know, the prevailing thought was it was because of Sidney Brown. Well, what about Lewis Cine? Lewis Cine, they picked up right before the playoffs. They held a roster spot for him. They have him into next year. He's a former Georgia guy, which you know they love. He has good chemistry with his Georgia teammates. He brings something different. Like, much like Eli Ricks is a different kind of, like, just, you know, physically built corner, Lewis Cine is like a linebacker back there at safety. And he was a first round pick like 2 years ago and has barely played. He got hurt. He got cut, which is crazy. And then, Buffalo, like, he's barely, like, I think Lewis Cine still has a ton of potential. I think the Eagles saw something in him they really like, which is why they claimed him. And Sidney was in the building all last year and didn't get on the field. And then they brought in Lewis Cine. So yes, maybe they'll draft a safety. Who knows? Like, there will be someone else added there. And so it'll be tough for Lewis Cine to win the starting job and to get snaps. But if he's a good special teams player, a good gunner, if Keeley's starting, like, I think Lewis Cine could be a part of the team next year. Not just, like, on the roster, but, like, somebody we see on game days and we're talking about. So Lewis Cine not getting enough attention. And the next one, I don't think his name's been said on the pod. I mean, maybe ever, like, I'm sure it has, but Byron Young, defensive tackle Byron Young. So last year, the Eagles claim him at final cuts. They kept him on the roster pretty much the entire season. He went on the IR at the end of October, didn't come back, but he played zero snaps for the team. In my experience of covering the Eagles, when they hold somebody for an entire year, that means the next year they got a plan for him, or they want him to be a bigger part of the team. So Byron Young, they let Milton Williams go. They could draft one for sure, but Jordan Davis, Moro Ojomo, like Thomas Booker, Byron Young. Like, Byron Young will compete for snaps next year. I don't think they hold him all year. He was a high draft pick, if I remember correctly. They claim him at final cuts, which shows a certain level of interest, obviously. Like, Byron Young is a player that we haven't talked about a lot, but I think we'll be talking about more when they get to training camps and OTAs and all that, because you don't just hold a guy on the roster all year for no reason. So those would be the five guys I don't think we have talked about enough. And man, talking about this has me excited for training camp, roster, bubble, roster projections, stats, all that. I love the offseason, but man, I love training camp. So that'll do it for today's pod. I hope you all enjoy your weekend. Go out and enjoy it. Have a good time. It should be sunny. It's basically summer. And by that, I mean it's spring. Go enjoy it. All right. He's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.